Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, a word for Confirmation Sunday, also for not only for our students, but for every single one of us believers. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And let's pray. Lord, our prayer today certainly is that our confirmation students would guard their hearts so that they would stay faithful to you. But Lord, also today, we need to guard our own hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to know how we need to do that, how much it matters, how important it is, how much life, Lord, can come out of us into the lives of other people if we do that. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Hollywood actress Alyssa Milano grew up in a Christian home in Brooklyn, New York, went to church every single Sunday, got confirmed when she was 13 years old, and when she was making that TV show, Who's the Boss, said that she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. But today, Alyssa Milano is one of the biggest shills for every kind of whacked out liberal agenda that you can think of. So bad that when the state of Georgia banned abortion on all babies with detectable heartbeats, Alyssa Milano called on that Hollywood to stop making all movies in that state. And also called on all the women in the state of Georgia to go on a sex strike in order to protest it. So how did Alyssa Milano go from walking with Jesus to tossing her cookies? I'll tell you. She didn't do what this verse today is telling every single one of us to do. She didn't guard her heart. And sadly enough, millions and millions of other people in America who call themselves Christians aren't guarding their hearts either. And as a result, they're up and walking away from Jesus too. And Christians, listen to me. If we don't guard our own hearts, we're going to end up doing exactly the same thing. Today is Confirmation Sunday, and two outstanding young men are going to be professing their personal faith in Jesus Christ. But what the Holy Spirit is saying to them is exactly the same thing He's saying to every single one of us. Guard your heart. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, tells us three things that we need to do in order to guard our hearts and stay faithful to Jesus. Let's look and see what these three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to guard our hearts, we need to examine them so that we can know exactly what's going on with them to start with. Now, the word heart in this verse is not talking about that muscle that beats in your chest about 70 times a minute. Heart there refers to your mind, your will, and emotions. That part of you, deep down inside where you really live, that decides every single nanosecond what you love and what you're going to focus on and what you're going to think and what you're going to do. This phrase here in the Hebrew is literally saying this: keep constantly looking over your heart so you will always know what shape it's in. Let the Lord do a spiritual EKG and examine your heart. We need to examine our hearts because that is what God is always doing. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, He says, I, the Lord, am always searching the heart and examining the mind. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to have Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, when God looks at our hearts, does He see Jesus in there? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So God doesn't care if you have lips like Kylie Jenner or abs like Matthew McConaughey. Alyssa Milano has a tattoo of Jesus on her behind and a tattoo of rosary beads on her back. But the most important thing, what she got on the inside? Because a pretty face doesn't make up for an ugly heart. God doesn't care if you're right swipe worthy. God doesn't care if you're hot enough to be a Twitter snack. God doesn't care if you can rock a pair of yoga pants or if you're the hottest thing on two legs in your high school. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Christianity is all about the heart. The only thing that matters is the heart. Not your face, not your body, but your heart. So quit scrolling through all those pictures of the skinny Instagram models wishing you were one of them and focus on your heart. Last February at the Super Bowl in Jupiter, Florida, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft was arrested for soliciting two prostitutes. The guy is 77 years old. He's married and claims to be a Christian. You know what he said? God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows every single one of our hearts. And God also knows what every single one of our hearts is really set on, doesn't he? Let me ask you this morning, what's going on in your heart and mine? We've got to guard our hearts because there's all kinds of bad things that can happen to them. Spiritually, just like physically. Spiritually, we can have hardening of the arteries and get a spiritually hard heart because we let sin and bitterness clog things up. We can get a spiritual heart murmur when we gripe and complain about everything all the time. We can get spiritual hypertension when we let the stress build up in our lives and put too much pressure on us. We can get a spiritually enlarged heart when we get as arrogant and big-headed as Kanye West. We can get spiritual heart disease when we love anything or anybody else more than we love God and put those things first. Worst of all, we can have a spiritual heart attack when we lose our heart for serving the Lord and just want to lay down and die. Ever been there? Doctors say that over 80% of people who have a heart attack don't even know they were at risk until it hits. Christians, that going to happen to us? Are we examining our hearts? What's going on in our hearts right now? And do we understand how much the heart really matters? The greatest thoroughbred racehorse in the history of the whole wide world was a colt named Secretariat who came out of Virginia in the early 1970s and absolutely blew everybody away. In 1973, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in over 25 years. But Secretariat not only won the Triple Crown, he set track records in every single one of those races that still stand to this day. 159.40 in the Derby, 153 in the Preakness, and 224 in the Belmont, which he won by 31 lengths. The greatest triple count performance in the history of American horse racing. You talk about super horse. Chick Anderson, the track announcer who did the stretch call at the Belmont, said this, "Secretariat is running like a tremendous machine." Well, it wasn't a tremendous machine that was powering Secretariat because engines are only for cars. But there was something else inside of him that was giving him all that juice. And when Secretariat had to be put down October 5th, 1989, because of lamitis, and Dr. Tim Swerczak, who did the autopsy on him at the Equine Center, University of Kentucky, he found out what it was. And he couldn't believe what he saw. And you see it there on the x-ray. The average horse's heart weighs about 8.5 pounds. Secretariat's heart weighed a whopping 22 pounds, over twice the size than that of a regular horse. Dr. Swerczak said this, "He had all the breeding to be a great racehorse to start with, but he had something else that made him even more powerful, the biggest heart I have ever seen in a horse. That big cardiovascular system pumping oxygen all throughout his body at an unbelievable rate. With that heart, no wonder he was so amazing." Christians, listen to me. It's all about the heart. It's the heart that determines success or failure, blessing or cursing, life or death. What's going on in our hearts right now? The first thing that we need to do in order to guard our hearts, we need to examine them. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to guard our heart. We not only need to examine them, we also need to know why we're supposed to guard our hearts to begin with. And the second half of verse 23 here tells us, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. In other words, whatever is in your heart is going to flow out into your life. Guard your heart because your heart determines every single thing you do. And the Bible tells us this over and over again. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Your heart is a reflection of who you really are as a person. Whatever is in your heart is going to flow out into your life. I don't know that he's here this morning. Jim Osman? Jim Osman is a born-again Christian. And you know what he did here at Fox River Church this past year? He taught high school Sunday school class. He taught Pilgrim's Progress and gave homework, for crying out loud. If I didn't have a class to teach of my own, I'd have taken his. Now he's married, got a beautiful wife, two beautiful kids, very busy guy, he's got a crazy schedule, and we didn't ask him to teach. We didn't put a gun to his head. He volunteered for it. And you know why? Because in his heart, he has a love for God and a love for young people that flows out of his heart, into his life, into the things that he does. Christians, what's flowing out of our heart right now? You say, well, Kevin, are you judging me? Only God can judge my heart. Yeah, and you know how God is going to judge your heart? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart to give to everyone according to what he has done. God is going to judge our hearts based on our actions, based on what we do. You say, well, Kevin, only God can judge my heart. You can't judge my heart. No, but I can judge your actions. And your actions tell me everything I need to know about your heart. Just like my actions tell you everything you need to know about me and my heart. Everything we do starts in and flows out of our hearts. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words from our heart, from our mouth, start in the heart. Every thought, every word, every action, every sin, every blessing, every good thing, every bad thing comes from the heart. And that's why we can't do what everybody and his brother is telling us to do today. The gospel according to the world, follow your heart. And why can't we do that? Because Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. You don't follow your heart. You follow Jesus Christ who lives in your heart. Because if you follow your heart can lie to you. Last December, 15-year-old Sabria McLean from Claymont, Delaware, met a 16-year-old guy on Facebook named LaVon Grady from Philadelphia. And of course, her heart immediately fell in love with him. So last Monday night, December the 10th, without telling her parents, she snuck out of the house and took a bus to Philadelphia because he told her that he wanted her to come and meet him. But then she never came back home. And the very next morning, police found her body under a pile of leaves behind an apartment complex in West Philadelphia. She'd been stabbed over 80 times, and her body had been set on fire. And you know why? Because 16-year-old LaVon Grady was really 23-year-old Cole Herring, a registered sex offender who groomed her and then murdered her. And why did that happen? Because we can't follow our hearts. We've got to be saved from our hearts. God did not design our hearts to be followed. He designed our hearts to be led by the Holy Spirit and by His Word. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He who follows his own heart is a fool. Guard your heart. Because it can save your very life. And folks, it's those sudden do-or-die situations that you don't even have time to think about that come up just like that. That's what really shows what's really in your heart. 18-year-old Kendrick Castillo was a senior at the STEM High School Math and Science Academy in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. He's a really big kid. Loved robotics, wanted to study engineering, worked in a factory after school, was always friendly, and he was a Christian. But last Tuesday, May the 7th, two other students in that high school, 18-year-old Devin Erickson and 16-year-old Maya McKinney, who pretended that she was a transgendered boy named Alec, were so mad about Christians believing that LGBT is wrong, they snuck two handguns into that school. Maya McKinney took one handgun into a science classroom and opened fire. Devin Erickson took the other handgun into a literature classroom where Kendrick Castillo was, pulled it out, and said, "Nobody move." And even though Kendrick Castillo was only 12 inches away from the shooter, without saying a word, without thinking twice, jumped out of his desk and slammed Devin Erickson up against the brick wall just as he started shooting. Then two other students in that class jumped up, wrestled the handgun away from him, while the other students in the class dove under their desks or ran out the door. And the school security officer stopped and disarmed Maya McKinney in the hallway. But as those students in that literature class had Devin Erickson pinned, Kendrick Castillo crumpled to the floor because he'd been shot in the chest. And he died on the way to the hospital, 3 days away from graduating. But see, he led the charge. Instead of running away from that shooter, he ran toward him so every other kid in that class could run away from the shooter. He sacrificed his life in order to save the lives of all those other students. And at a special memorial service, Colorado Governor Jared Polis said this: "We will always remember the heroism of Kendrick Castillo. He was the only one killed, but what he did kept dozens of other students alive. God only knows how many lives he saved." And you know what, folks? Kendrick Castillo didn't even have to make a decision to do what he did, because there wasn't even time to think about it. That was just the life of Jesus Christ in his heart, flowing out of his heart, giving life to other people. The King James Version of this verse says this: "Guard your heart, for from it flows the issues of life." People, you guard your heart, you have no idea how much life can flow out of you into the lives of the people around you. The second thing we need to do in order to guard our hearts, we need to understand why we need to guard them. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do in order to guard our hearts. We not only need to examine them, we not only need to understand why we should guard them, but third, we simply need to protect them. And that is literally what this verse is telling us this morning. The word "guard" here in the Hebrew is the same word for sentinel, a soldier who constantly stands watch at a post, constantly guarding something precious. And Christians, that's exactly what we're supposed to do with our hearts. We guard our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our feelings with the Word of God and with prayer and with worship and relationship with Christian friends. We could go on and on. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now saying, "Kevin, but as human beings, we can't control how we feel." That song from Bonnie and Clyde the musical says this: "You love who you love. You don't have no say. Your heart decides. It's just that simple." And I want to tell you today, that's not true. Your thoughts and feelings trigger your heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, you take your thoughts and your feelings captive and don't let them get to your heart to start with. Christians, we are the gatekeepers over our hearts. We control what gets in and what stays out. So let me ask you this morning, what are we letting in to our hearts? The most popular thing this season at the concession stands at Texas Rangers Stadium in Arlington, Texas, is something called the Texas Snowball. Shredded beef brisket, tossed with barbecue sauce, dunked in funnel cake batter, deep fried, and then coated with powdered sugar. You can hear your right and left ventricles slamming shut just thinking about it. And for people who really don't care at all anymore, you can also get that with double fat ice cream, with hot fudge and candied jalapeno peppers on top. Not exactly what you'd call heart healthy food. Christians, what are we letting into our hearts? Because garbage in, garbage out. Whatever we let into our hearts is eventually going to come out of our hearts. One out of every four teenage suicides today, one of the major causes cited is Instagram. What are we letting in our hearts? 130 Americans now are dying from opioid addiction every single day. And some of those Americans who die every day are Christians. 76% of all 18 to 24-year-old believers in America right now surf porn every single day. 76%! What are we letting into our hearts? 60% of all divorce cases in America today, in the papers that are filed, one of the major causes cited is social media. What are we letting into our hearts? And I know there's some believers hearing this sermon this morning, you're saying, well, Kevin, that kind of stuff, that's never going to happen to us. Really? When you as a pastor get those phone calls from Christian parents telling you that their Christian kids have overdosed on drugs that they didn't even know they were hooked on. When I have marriage counseling sessions right back there in that office with Christian couples and the Christian husband confesses to his wife that he's been hooked on porn for all 23 years of their marriage. And when the Christian wife confesses to her Christian husband that she's cheated on him multiple times during their marriage, people's sin is real. Even in Christians. Christians don't tell me that we still don't have that old sinful nature inside that will absolutely eat us alive and destroy every single thing that we have if we don't constantly guard our hearts and fight against it. We've got to guard our hearts. Last Monday, Chicago Cubs utility player Ben Zobrist filed for divorce from his wife Julianne after 14 years of marriage. They're both born-again Christians. They're both pastor's kids. He spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast. She's a Christian children's book author. She's a gospel recording artist. She sang God Bless America at the World Series for crying out loud. But he's divorcing her for inappropriate marital conduct. And we can all guess what that means. Christians, listen to me. If that can happen to Ben and Julianna Zobrist, it could happen to any single one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let he who stands take heed, lest he fall. We got to guard our hearts. Country stars Tim McGraw and Faith Hill have been married 21 years now. You know what they say is the secret to being married for 21 years? Do you know what they do every single day to guard their hearts and to guard their marriage relationship? They pray together and they read the Bible together every single day. You got to guard your heart. Most newer cars today, something bad gets close to that car, it goes off like this. That's a car alarm. Christians, let me ask you, what kind of an alarm system do we have in place when something bad gets close to our hearts? Do we understand how precious our hearts really are? So precious that we're willing to guard them no matter what it costs us. Just like He is. 17-year-old Brendan Johnston is a born-again Christian and a really good high school senior wrestler from Colorado Springs, Colorado. So good, he was getting recruited by all kinds of D1 and D2 colleges all across the United States, depending on how he did this his past senior year. Well, Brendan Johnston went 36-6 this past year in the 106-pound weight class. One of those losses came because he was injured and he had to forfeit. The other five losses came because as a Christian, he refuses to wrestle girls. So he took all of those five forfeits for losses too. Over 7,000 girls all across America today are now participating in high school boys wrestling because they think it's cool to act like a guy, cheered on by parents who evidently have no problem whatsoever with their teenage daughters getting mauled and groped and manhandled by teenage guys. And if you don't think there's anything wrong with that, you need a whole other sermon about men and women. But this is what Brendan Johnston said. I don't forfeit because I'm disrespecting the effort the girls put in. But ever since I started wrestling in the seventh grade, I have never wrestled a girl because my faith in Jesus Christ says it's just wrong. There's all the physical contact and aggression, and I don't ever want to treat a girl like that, on or off the mat. And even more important, I'm protecting my heart for women and hopefully protecting the girls' hearts for guys. Now, last year, Brendan Johnston forfeited himself out of the 2018 state wrestling tournament because he wouldn't wrestle a girl. And everybody this year was just so sure he was going to change his convictions because senior year, this is his last chance to win a state championship. And there's all kinds of college scholarships on the line. And he was heavily favored to win in his weight class. But guess again. Very first round at the Pepsi Center, Denver, Colorado, last February the 23rd, his first match, he was scheduled to wrestle a girl named Jocelyn Gallegos from Parkview, Colorado. So Brendan Johnston forfeited, walked off the mat, went into the consolation round, and was tearing up the consolation round with a chance to get back into the winner's bracket and another chance to win another state championship until he got to the third round of the consolation bracket and was scheduled to wrestle another girl named Angel Rios from Gilcrest. So what was Brendan Johnston going to do? One more forfeit, one more loss, his high school career was over. And you could kiss the state championship and a Division I scholarship goodbye. But right before the match started, instead of going out to the middle of the mat and warming up like Angel Rios was doing, Brendan Johnston walked over to the official at the scorer's table, had a discussion, shook his hand, and walked off the mat. Official came out, grabbed Angel Rios' arm, put it above her head, and declared her the winner by forfeit. And Brendan Johnston became the first person in the history of any Colorado high school state tournament to forfeit two times in the same tournament. Goodbye championship, goodbye scholarship. Now, what Brendan Johnston did, Angel Rios just thought it was something stupid. This is what she said. I just wanted to wrestle. And all I know is he forfeited for some dumb religious reason. And if that's his decision, that's on him. But this is what Brendan Johnston said. I ask myself, is my conviction important enough to stick with when it counts? And it was a no-brainer. It wasn't exactly how I wanted to end my high school career, but it was a good way to go out, faithful to Christ. And I'd do exactly the same thing all over again. My heart for Jesus is far more important to me than anything in wrestling, and I have no regrets whatsoever. Folks, that kid gave up a state championship to guard his heart and to honor Jesus Christ. He guarded his heart no matter what it cost him. The question is for us, are we going to guard our hearts no matter what it's going to cost us? Above all else, guard your heart. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in these seats. You're thinking, Kevin, it's too late for me because I haven't guarded my heart. And my heart's full of all kinds of bad things. Anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, lust, porn, you name it, it's too late. No, it's not too late. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says King David was a man after God's own heart. King David committed adultery and then committed murder to try to cover up the adultery. And yet the Bible says he was still a man after God's own heart. Yeah. You know why? Because even though David did those bad things, he then did what God told him to do about it. He repented and he never did them again. And then God gave him a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. And listen to me, God will do exactly the same thing for us if we just turn to Him in repentance and faith and ask Him for it. God will give you a brand new heart. But that whole process starts with one thing. It starts with letting the Holy Spirit search our hearts to show us what's really in there and what needs to be changed. Let's pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. And know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, and we know that we cannot do this in our own power. We can't guard our hearts without the power of the Holy Spirit. I just ask, Lord, that you would help us to do this today, constantly vigilant, constantly watching, your Holy Spirit guarding the gate. And Lord, I pray that we would stay faithful to you as the years roll by, waiting for your second coming, Lord, that we would be faithful. We would be found faithful when you come again and take us home. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.